Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezras Hashem, HSP, Shiur number 22. And we're talking today about protection strategies. We need to learn how to shield ourselves with daily self-care. That includes eating healthy, exercising healthy, taking quiet alone time, associating with as much positive people as possible. Something being in nature, often, if possible, to go swimming in a pool or immersing yourself in water, in a bath, meditating, praying, exercising, and taking care of yourself, ultimately, your physical and emotional well-being. There's tremendous blessings of being this empath of a highly sensitive person's nature. Remember always, there's a certain gentleness there, a certain presence, a certain sweetness, there's a certain tender appreciation for people. There's an appreciation for life. They're all gifts. They're matanos given to Hashem for you and to help others with it. It usually is combined with a tremendous amount of powerful intuition and refined sensitivity to actually heal. And the first key of this is to appreciate yourself, appreciate your openness, appreciate your ability to feel. And this is not arrogance, but humility of the true kind, to realize how special you are and how perfect you are, in the sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you with a Tzelem Elokim, with a holy neshama. And when you see yourself that way, you connect to a wholeness, you connect to the depth within, and you can enjoy your own empathy. And that's the point. Not everyone will understand you, and till now maybe that caused you to be uncomfortable because of the fact that people did not understand you. But that's okay. Yask Hashem. And HSPs, there are at least 15% of the population. And it's most likely that among Jews, especially those that are attuned to Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yir HaShemayim, and there's probably a higher percentage of this. And you search for people, good people, that you could connect with, and they could connect with you, and you ask Hashem for that. You ask Hashem for that. You are have compassion, you have loving kindness, and you need to honor yourself as an empath, not look at it as a negative, because it's difficult in this world. With our general surroundings and our culture, but rather to honor those gifts, to recognize it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift to you, and to appreciate it every day, embrace it every day. Thank Hashem that He made you that way. Now, it's important to learn how to stop absorbing other people's distress, because an empath's body literally is different than other people. They feel everything. Absorb both the positive energies and the negative energies around them, literally in your own muscles and tissues and organs, which can affect your health in many, many ways. Now, on the positive side, empaths are able to sense other people's vitality, their happiness, their love, and they feel it within themselves, and it feels amazing, and it's healing. That's why, by the way, in many cultures, it was a lot with Hasidim, called Hisvadus, calling Chabures, getting together, making Fabringens together, singing and dancing and drinking. Yes, even drinking in healthy measure. And let's say when they get together for a Hanukkah Mesiba or a Yantar Mesiba or a Erev Rosh Chodesh, L'Kavod Rosh Chodesh, and they get together, and there's shalom there, and there's gatherings, again, men for men and women for women, it creates such a positive energy. I know many people. I once went. It was in the olden days. I call it Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson. He was still in Borough Park. And, you know, they finished Tanya at one point, and for other reasons, they made once in a while Fabringen, where they got together, he spoke, and they had food, and they danced, and then they sang, and then he said Torah, and the connectivity of the people in such a positive energy around them creates such a warmth. And that's very important. Both men doing it, even if they can't do that, to get, let's say, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, people together, learning a little bit, talking about Yerush Shemayim, singing, even the singing, the kumzitzes that people have, and the girls and the women themselves getting chaburis and doing it themselves. This is the value, for example, of a lot of the camp experiences that people have, the connectivity between everybody. Music plays a big part of it, and so on and so forth. So that's the positive side of it. However, there's also, unfortunately, the challenging side of this, where you also feel other people's physical discomforts, other people's stress, other people's negative emotions, such as frustration and anger and fear, even when they're not expressed. That's the most amazing part. If people around you have hidden pains and tensions, and empaths feel that. And because they feel that, they can get very tired and even ill when they're around toxic people, or when they're around noise, or when they're around violence, or when they're around rushing, when they're around yelling. And this is something that Judith Orloff calls empathetic illness, where you actually are experiencing someone else's physical symptoms as if they're your own. Judith Orloff says herself that as a child, when she got on a bus, her mood would suddenly change. She suddenly felt anxiety and pain of the person beside her. She would go, for example, in a large grocery store. She felt perfectly fine before, but when she left the store, she felt exhausted, tense, with an ache or pains that they didn't have before. I myself have this sometimes when I stay by weddings a long time. I feel that and get overwhelmed coming out from weddings. It's well known by me. I could be coming home very late from a wedding, even 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I still need another hour to unwind for that reason, the overstimulation of those vibes coming in. I'm curious how many people have that or have that experience. And so Judith Orloff said when she used to go into these big grocery supermarkets and come away from it exhausted, literally exhausted. And she had no idea that what was happening at the time was she was literally being overwhelmed by the dizzying aisle of food choices and the fluorescent lighting and the long lines by the counter and the people, and that told her a lot about herself, that certain settings are more stressful for empaths, and that other people's emotions and other people's symptoms can get stuck in their own bodies. So therefore, to survive as an empath, it's essential to learn both how to stop absorbing other people's emotional pain and how to ground themselves when they're in overstimulating environments that are not empath-friendly, on how to handle that. And she's going to talk about that later in the book. It's also important to realize, when you go to conventional healthcare, empaths sometimes are very often misdiagnosed. They're misdiagnosed as hypochondriacs, for example, or neurotics, and they're vulnerable, and unfortunately, if you go straight to a medical doctor or even a psychiatrist, they'll just prescribe for you antidepressants automatically right away without taking into consideration that very often they don't need that really, but they simply need this type of emotional healing or emotional help with their empath abilities and sensitivities in order to grow, in order to protect themselves. That's why it's very important. When you listen to people, don't just listen with your intellect, but listen with your intuition and empathetic abilities too. And very often in the medical field. You're anxious or you're this or that right away. The intellect says go for some technical medical treatment, which you can do, but that alone isn't enough. So even if you take that course, you have to recognize there's something more within, that you're not a hypochondriac or neurotic or anything like that. And you're not necessarily needing... Your anxiety comes from this deep empathy that you have, and once you learn how to monitor it, once, for example, you set boundaries with draining people, then it really transforms itself, that your sensitivities now are not just a weakness now, but they're a source of strength, they're a source of love, they're a source of vitality. It's not looked at a negative anymore. It's not looked like as if it's a disease. Then she goes through this concept of whether one is a physical empath or an emotional empath. And the truth is many can be both. But we're going to describe and explain what each one is. What is a physical empath? A physical empath is you literally feel other people's symptoms in your own bodies. For example, if a friend near you complains about a stomach ache, suddenly your stomach will hurt as well. If a coworker has a migraine, then the empath's head will start throbbing somewhat as well. So the positive side of this is you also absorb positive energy when people are doing well. For example, one of Judith Orloff's patients said that when one spouse, the wife was doing yoga classes, her empathetic spouse, even when they were away from them and they were in another part of town, they felt relaxed. There was a connection there of literally a physical change in their bodies as they were feeling it. That's a physical empath. An emotional empath mainly picks up other people's emotions. For example, when they sit next to a depressed person, they will feel more down. When they watch a comedy, their whole mood will be uplifted to an extreme. And the problem, though, with an emotional empath is very often they have difficulty discerning. And they have no clue whether the emotions are from themselves or their emotions literally belong to another person, to someone else. They may get thrown off by other people's feelings without realizing it and without knowing how to recenter themselves. So as one patient once told her, that it takes a full day to recuperate from being around an extremely negative or angry person. So that is very, very important, you cite. Sometimes even in shul, you're by your tables in shul, and sometimes when you feel down or a certain downness and you look around, it may be the energy, of people around you. Again, you have to take this with a sensitivity and understanding that this is really taking place. But it does take place. So here's an example she brings that about a daughter that was absorbing her mother's anxiety. And because empaths have such big hearts, they unconsciously take on their loved one's emotions. But once you're aware of this dynamic, you can have boundaries. For example, you visualize cutting some type of cord between your mother's anxiety and your own anxiety. And that allows you to maintain a healthy boundary. You're still a caring daughter to your mother, but you keep a certain healthy boundary. Now, both physical and emotional empaths have ability to see very deeply, but they also need to really be careful about protecting their own physical and emotional health. So it's key to learn how to not soak in negative energy. And even though you want to take the pain of others, because you have empathy, you want to feel the pain of others, but very often you have to put a boundary on it. It's not healthy for you. Because if you do this all the time, you won't be able to do the things that you love doing, and you won't really even ultimately care in the right way that you need to care, because if you're overflooded, it's not going to help. So the boundaries are very, very important. We'll continue this very important topic, Be'ez Hashem, in the upcoming shiur.